and particularly given the message this morning. I want to speak this morning about times of travailing prayer. Times of travailing prayer. There is a title slide on there. Thank you. Times of travailing prayer. And you see there on the title slide that you have a climber up the side of a rock face, and it is hard work. When you're climbing up a rock face, it is hard work. It's physically demanding. You need to be fit. You need to be supple in order to get to the top. And so it's appropriate as we speak about travailing, those times of travailing prayer, because it is hard. It's not easy. But we are called to push on and to push through. Those of you that have your Bibles, go with me to Romans chapter 8. Verses 18 to 30. And we're going to read about what Paul has to say about the Spirit who intercedes for us, who prays with us, about those prayers from the depths of our soul, those prayers that when we don't know what to say with natural words, the Spirit just breaks in and breaks out through groans and crying, and we know that that God hears our prayer. So Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 30 says this: "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." And I want to encourage any of you this morning that if you are going through a difficult time, you're in a difficult season, the reminder is this, that at the end of it, you will see the glory of God, that God has called you to press in and to press through, and you will see the goodness and the glory of God. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Or some translations might say, "with great care" at that point. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." Isn't that good to know? That when we don't know what to pray, when we're feeling totally inadequate, the Spirit helps us in our times of greatest need. "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." And as a preamble before I get into word, whenever I speak about prayer, I always prefix it with this, that I am not an expert on prayer. Prayer is one of those things that every single student of the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who professes to be a Christian, who wears that title Christian, every single one of us should be praying. Yeah? None of us would say that we don't pray. None of us would say that prayer is not a fundamental tenet of the Christian life. But I want to say this, there are no experts in prayer. I can talk, you know, every week on prayer. That does not make me an expert. Prayer is one of those things that God is consistently, constantly revealing, bringing fresh revelation to his people. And just when we think that we've had a breakthrough and we've learned something new, and we do because we learn aspects of prayer, there's always something else. And so we're always constantly before God in prayer, because prayer is one of those things where you can't say this is how it works or this is how you do it. There are certainly things that we can learn that will help us, but there is no formula for doing prayer right. And I want you to know that. You know, don't think that you're praying wrong or you know, you should be praying in a particular way. God, by his Spirit, works through us as individuals, and he prompts us and draws us to himself and calls us to those times of communication through prayer with him. Collins Dictionary defines the word travail, and travail is not a word that we use very often today. We don't use it in common language, in common conversation. And travail is not a word that we use very often. But the Collins Dictionary defines the word travail as this, and I was surprised, but it defines it as this: an unpleasant experience or situation, especially one that involves a lot of hard work and effort. Well, I wouldn't describe prayer as an unpleasant situation, but it certainly, if we are seeking to have a breakthrough and press through, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. There are parts of the Spirit that are going to hurt. When you are climbing and you want to get somewhere, there are things you need to do. There are times when you're using your leg muscles. There are times when you're using your arm muscles. There are times when you're using simply your fingers. But at the end of it, when you get to the top, you are hurting. And likewise, in travailing prayer, if we are going to get it right, if we're going to press through, then there's something in the Spirit that's going to hurt. There is something that is going to cause us pain. It's going to demand a certain amount of effort. The French word travail or travail translates into the English word job. And maybe if we put those two things together, we might get some idea of what travailing prayer is, because God has given us a task, a work to do, a job to do that sometimes we need. It's going to be hard work, and we've got to keep pressing in and pressing on in our prayer. But sometimes we give up. Sometimes it is too hard. Sometimes we don't have the spiritual muscle to press through and to get to where God wants us. And that's why, friends, it's so important that we continue to develop our prayer life, because what we're building is we're building spiritual muscle. We're building muscle for those times when we are going to need them. John 16, verses 20 to 22, Jesus says this to his disciples: "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is given birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world." Is that true, ladies? Do you forget the pain? "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy from you." Jesus, speaking to his disciples, leaves them with a great promise. He tells them that he's going away, but he says, "Listen, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send someone that will help you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he will bring comfort to you." God has a plan for you, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to equip you by someone who will come and live in you. Of course, we know that later on, of course, they're going to cry and weep at Jesus' departure when he leaves the earth. But they ultimately experience later on the new joy, the new birth that Jesus in this moment reminds them of, saying that once the pain is gone, once you have birthed something, you're going to know joy again. And I want to say, friends, that as you, I don't know what you are praying for right now. I don't know what's going on in your life. And things might be hard. But I want to tell you that as you conceive that in your spirit and give birth to it, you'll know joy again. It's going to be hard. There's going to be tears. There's going to be groanings and lamenting. But joy will come again when those things are birthed in your life. Travailing prayer is a manifestation of the grief of the heart of God. It's those things that God grieves over and weeps over. And as we give way to the Spirit, those things that grieve God, that cause him pain, are the things that ultimately will cause us the same pain. Those things that will cause us to weep in our hearts, weep in our spirits, weep physically, because of what the Spirit is doing. You see, there is a correlation to the prayer that cries out to God and the manifestation of his workings in our lives. We can perhaps better understand when we think about the Holy Spirit, the one who lives in us, and we think back to those times, or the time when you came to faith, and something in you, I don't know if you've had the experience, but something in you caused you to almost cry and weep. And I know some of you probably physically did weep when you realized that the Spirit is living in you, and you looked around and you saw a lost world, and that which you found and came to dwell in you, you wanted the same for everyone else, and you didn't know what words to use or what to say, and so you just stood there and you wept as you got something of the heart of God for the lost people, for a lost generation. You see, the Holy Spirit living in us is the one who enables us to do what? To go further than we in the natural can go. The Holy Spirit living in us is the one who empowers us with words, and sometimes, as I said, with groanings and tears as we pray into situations. God, by his Spirit, has chosen to use our mouths to release his word into the circumstance and situation of our daily living. Hebrews 13:15 says this: through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Let us continually, friends, offer up a praise. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of worship. Let us continually offer up our prayers to God. You know that I sometimes get frustrated when we're in a corporate setting and we come to God in prayer and people are silent and quiet. Because God is, by his Spirit, wants to use us. If he's not going to use us and he's not able to use us, who is he going to use? If we are not willing to open our mouths and to release those declarations, to speak into circumstance, how are things going to become manifest in our daily living? Friends, there is a requirement. God has chosen us by his Spirit to speak through us and to use our mouths to release his word. It's a necessary part of our daily living. He's chosen us to use us in his great plan of salvation and redemption. He's chosen us to spread the good news of Christ Jesus, the gospel, the life-saving gospel. He uses our mouths to witness, and he uses our hands to help others. You see, God works through us by his Spirit. And we need to make ourselves available. Another truth that sometimes is overlooked as we consider our prayer is that God uses our hearts and our emotions to cry through some things. Sometimes the only way we are going to get through is when we cry through. And sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit expresses his grief. That we too feel the grief, the sadness that is on God's heart. And we're crying, you know, through the tears. And we're crying through, you know, everything else as we seek to press in, as we catch hold of the heart of God. Most of us, I would suggest, have experienced those moments, and maybe we need to get back to those moments where the Spirit is at work in us, where our conversation with God is sometimes just a weeping and a crying and a sobbing. And it's not a pretty sight, the tears, the snot. It's not a pretty sight. But sometimes that's what God calls us to, as we press in, as we lay hold of his heart. When we have a burden for others, when we become sorrowful over them, listen, it's usually because the Holy Spirit is working in us to cry through, to bring through to salvation those people. God wants us to have a concern for a lost world, for people who are going to an eternal separation from God. Let me ask you this morning, is there anything that troubles you most? What is troubling you the most? What sometimes burdens you to a level that when you are praying, you can't let it go? I know for parents, there have been times when we've had to pray for our children, because they're not going the way that we want them to go, or we know the way that we know that God has for them, and they're doing, you know, they're in the world, and all we can do is just pray for them, and God by his Spirit burdens our hearts to pray for our children. There are other situations in our lives where God, suddenly you feel a burden on you. You don't know where it's come from. That's the Holy Spirit prompting you to pray into a situation, and you can't let it go because the Spirit is moving and prompting you. What is troubling you? What troubles you the most in the world? What is burdening your heart that you can't let go and you can't leave? But it's always there. What is God consistently prompting you to pray for and into? Because if he is, friends, then I want to suggest that he's calling you to travail and to lay hold of that thing and to press through and to persevere. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard work. But God is calling you to grab hold of that and to pray it through. How many of you know that you can't be in labor unless you're pregnant? It's just a fact. You can't be in labor unless you're pregnant. You cannot have a pregnancy without a conception. And I want to say that travailing prayer is a type of prayer that is purposed to birth something. Travailing prayer, its purpose is to birth something. When Jesus taught us how to pray, he was teaching us how to conceive something in the Spirit in order that it might be birthed into our natural circumstances, so that we might see it evidenced in our daily living. When Jesus taught us to pray, he was teaching us how to conceive something in the Spirit. Isaiah 66:8, when Isaiah is speaking about the nation of Israel, says this, that as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. You see, the purpose of conceiving something in the Spirit is that ultimately it might give birth to something. And we need, friends, to position ourselves. We need to position ourselves so that we might spiritually conceive something, because God is looking for people who will travail, who will press in prayer in order that something might be birthed. God wants you to birth something. How many of you, again, let me ask you this, how many of you know that God can do lots of things? How many of you know that God can do all things? He can do all things. And lots of things happen here on earth when we, God's people, press in, get hold of something, and travail and push through. God can do all things. And one of those things that God has called us to do is to travail in prayer. I want to suggest that maybe it's one of the things that the Church of God today has lost, is the art, if that's the right word, of travailing prayer. Of holding on, so getting hold of something and running with it and staying with it until we see something birthed, until we see the answer that we believe God wants to bring. Understanding that God wants us to press in and to birth something. Paul had a lot to say to the early church around Galatia. He said this in Galatians 4:19, speaking about praying for them, and I like to think that he was travailing for them. He recognized that God wanted to birth something in this early church, and he was pressing in. And he said this, "My little children," writing to them, "for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." Paul likens his prayer times to that of childbirth, recognizing that in his praying, he was called to birth something in that church in Galatia. Let me ask you, what's dead or decayed in your life? What's rotten or broken that you want to see come back to life? Church, there is another level that God wants us to go to, another level of groaning in our prayers that some of us haven't even begun to touch. We can be pregnant with something in the spirit. And I want to be sensitive here because I'm aware that some of you have had abortions in the natural. I don't mean you yourself, but you've lost children in the natural. But likewise, in the spiritual, we can be pregnant with something and yet abort it. God can put something in us, and unless we press through, just as in the natural, an aborted pregnancy is a sad and a painful occasion. It carries hurt with it. I want to suggest that when God puts something in us and we don't do anything with it, and we abort that which God by His Spirit has planted in us, I want to suggest that it is equally painful. It hurts when we don't bring to birth those things that God has planted in us. You see, when something is birthed in us, it shows us a different way. When something is birthed in us, it shows us a plan, a physical plan of God. When something is birthed in us or conceived in us, it shows us the weightiness of the heart of God. James understood this principle of travailing prayer being like childbirth, like conceiving and childbirth. And he said about standing firm in faith and resisting temptation. He said this, James chapter 1:15, he said this, "Desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." You see, it's possible, friends, for us to birth or to conceive something in the spirit. And what you conceive in the spirit will ultimately go through its gestation period, and it will birth something in your life. What are you allowing to be conceived in your spirit? What are you doing? What are you reading? What are you watching? How's your conversation? How's the company that you are keeping? Because all of those things will cause something to be conceived in your spirit. And ultimately, what is conceived will come through to birth. Desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. God is looking that for a people that will birth life. God's plan for us is not that we birth death, that we birth negativity, but actually that we birth hope, that we birth life. But what are you conceiving in your spirit this morning? What are the prayers that you are crying out before God in those quiet times? In those moments where there is only you and God and no one else sees but God. Again, I want to encourage you, if you're in a season right now that you are consistently and persistently praying something through because you need to see a change, God reminds us that his ears are constantly toward the cry of his people. God has not forgotten you. God is looking for those who will seek him with all their heart, but above all, those that will seek him with the heart of the Spirit, praying his will be done, not ours. In Ezekiel 9, we see God calls for a mark to be placed upon all those people who sigh and cry in prayer because they are burdened by the condition and the state of the nation of Israel. And as those intercessors, those who are fervent in their prayer, are praying, God says, put a mark on them. And Ezekiel 9 tells us this, and said to him, go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it. Those who grieve and lament, those who were travailing, those who were so burdened about the state of the nation, about the state of the city that they couldn't let it go. And it birthed in them tears, it birthed in them sadness, it birthed in them by the Spirit a groaning that words couldn't vocalize. And I want to say this, that we too, friends, can experience that same revelation and deliverance as we cry out to God, as we persist, as we determine to travail in our prayers. We can know the same release and the same deliverance. Travailing prayer yields to the sorrow of God's heart over a situation. I want again to cry and to weep for those things that God weeps over, don't you? I want to come in line with those things that God says sadden him. I want to feel again the sorrow and the grief that God feels, that breaks the heart, that breaks the spirit. Those times when you know that there is nothing else, that you have nothing else to offer, and you're totally dependent on the Spirit working in and through you. Friends, travailing prayer is a powerful weapon in the life of the believer. And if you don't have it as part of your arsenal, your spiritual arsenal, if you like, then I want to suggest that it's something that you need to develop, something you need to get hold of. It's something that you need to develop and cultivate, because there are some things in our lives that are not going to come. We're not going to see the manifestation or the fulfillment of them through just a quick prayer when we're driving the car, when we're walking down the road, or a 5-minute prayer. There are some things, friends, that God has conceived in our spirit that we might lay hold of them, but they will only be manifest and come to fruition. We will only see a birthing of that when we truly travail and lay hold of those things in our prayers. Team, would you come back, please?